You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Andrew Little, join me again for our regular chat this week. We discuss the Pari Hauraki settlement and what the government plans to do about the increasing number of synthetic cannabis deaths. Here is Andrew.
You were originally going to sign the Pari Hauraki settlement deal in May, but you put it off to allow iwi to try and sort of negotiate. What's happened in that time?
There weren't any negotiations between iwi. One of the iwi said they thought the tikanga-based process should happen straight away. The other said that they didn't think it should happen until after the deed was signed. I engaged in my own negotiations with the Hauraki iwi. We got some further concessions to deal with some of the issues that the Tauranga Waina iwi had raised. And we got changes, we got agreed to changes, not everything that Tauranga Waina were wanting, because what I actually think they were wanting was a considerable retreat from interests that had been confirmed for them by the Waitangi Tribunal. In any event, we got agreement on some changes, and we got to the point where I made the judgment that we weren't going to get any further, and that in order for a tikanga-based process to happen over what are some of the important things, which is the disagreement over who has the rights to be consulted by local authorities, we've got to the point where we now have a deed that I have said I will sign, that the problematic issues over consultation rights with local government have been taken out of it and reserved solely for a tikanga-based process. So I think it's the 12 iwi of Hauraki now are on the path to getting something, because many of those iwi have got absolutely nothing compared to the Tauranga Moana iwi, who have got the bulk of their redress under their treaty settlement some years ago. So it sort of evens the field, but the really controversial things are now reserved for a tikanga-based process, and it's a question now of those iwi making the choice to come together and have a go at a tikanga-based process.
How will you try sort of facilitate this process?
Look, I am doing everything I can to urge each side to participate. I know that Hauraki iwi collectively have now reached out to Tauranga Moana iwi to say they are ready and willing to set up arrangements for a tikanga-based process. I'm not quite sure how that has gone from Tauranga Moana iwi. I know that a couple of the Tauranga Moana iwi are somewhat willing to participate now. There are other iwi as well. I know Waikato Tainui are concerned about some aspects. Ngāti Whātua, even Ngāti Wai, further north of Auckland, have expressed some concerns. And I have said to each of them, all the issues they are raising all properly to be dealt with through a tikanga-based process, and I'm urging Hauraki iwi to engage with all iwi who have raised issues and concerns to have a tikanga-based process to fix those up.
And Ngāi Te Rangi iwi Trust Chief Executive Paiora Stanley said your announcement came as a bit of a shock. Do you think you gave enough time?
Yeah, there's no shock about this at all. I think the unfortunate thing about Ngāi Te Rangi is that they think that unless they get everything that they've demanded, then it's all wrong. They haven't taken any step themselves since May, apart from saying that they are ready for a tikanga-based process, and Hauraki saying they weren't until the deed was signed. No further effort was made to have an exchange between them. All the effort has gone in from the Crown's side with Hauraki to achieve change and concessions and to make it more palatable to Tauranga Moana iwi, including Ngāi Te Rangi. So I think, look, the problem is, you get to situations like this. There are some iwi leaders who find it easy to kind of hear off into high-flown, highfalutin rhetoric, and we're seeing a bit of that. In the end, I'm about solutions-focused and problem-solving approaches. That's what I'd like to see, and that's what I'm going to continue to drive iwi towards.
Does this settlement sort of reflect what the Waitangi Tribunal found?
Yeah, well, it does, and this is the thing. The Waitangi Tribunal has found that Hauraki iwi have interests in the Tauranga Moana area, particularly the northern part of the Aruhi, the Te Puna Kati Kati block. Ngāi Te Rangi simply disagree with that. It's all very well Ngāi Te Rangi criticising Hauraki and criticising the Crown. Actually, what Ngāi Te Rangi are doing, criticising the Waitangi Tribunal. The other problem with Ngāi Te Rangi is that, of course, they agreed on many aspects of the redress that Hauraki Iwi are getting. And indeed, Ngāi Te Rangi, the people of Ngāi Te Rangi, ratified their own deed that included a share of, you know, where there are shared elements of redress, and that share was with Hauraki. That was ratified by Ngāi Te Rangi people. So the leadership now are wanting to backtrack on agreements they've made and agreements that have been ratified by their own people. And so they shouldn't be surprised that Hauraki are, you know, resistant to give up what they consider have already been agreed. And look, if you want to get into what is tika in terms of a tikanga-based process, it is not tika in the Māori world to backtrack on agreements made. But Ngāi Te Rangi think it is okay.
Moving on, there's been a spike in deaths due to synthetic cannabis use this year. Why do you see this has happened?
Look, I can only speculate about it. I'm waiting for some advice. I think one of the things that Winston Peters had set up in his time as Prime Minister is a cross-ministerial group now to actually seriously address this issue. We have to. But if you ask me my kind of early kind of hunches about it, we've driven synthetic cannabis underground. We effectively prohibited it with the psychoactive substances legislation. It is cheaper than cannabis, natural cannabis, if you like. It's cheaper than other drugs on the market. And people are kind of resorting to it. And people don't know what they're buying. And it does really expose, I guess, all the questions about prohibition of recreational drugs and driving it underground. What happens? There's no regulation, no oversight. With synthetic cannabis, people don't actually know what they're buying, and actually what they're buying is toxic mixes of drugs that is completely, you know, rewiring their brains and spinning them out and killing them. And I think we've just got to wake up and you know, we've got to take a health-based approach, and we've got to say, what is the best way of ensuring that we prevent this from happening? It does mean opening up and being transparent about, you know, the drugs market, the drugs that are there. If we want safety to be kind of the paramount consideration, which it should be, we shouldn't have people killing themselves on drugs, then we're going to have to change our approach.
So would you possibly like to see the Psychoactive Substances Act repealed?
I think it goes beyond just that. I mean, I know that at the moment there's a National Party members' bill in Parliament to increase the penalties under that legislation on the grounds that that's something that will help. It won't. You know, there are no prosecutions under that Act now. Why would increasing the penalties make a difference? It's sort of blowing in the wind. We actually have to have an honest conversation about drugs, recreational drugs, and whether or not we are regulating them in a way that is safe for people. And look, it's no different to the question that, you know, Canada faced, Uruguay, Portugal and other countries that have liberalised drugs have faced. But we've kind of gone on this prohibition stance for decades and decades, and I think we're starting to see the product of what happens. And that is, you know, people, for whatever reason, wanting to try stuff, want to do it as cheaply as possible, and we're now down at kind of the bottom of the market, and we've got drugs that are killing people. Well, and how much longer does that go on?
Do you feel that legalising cannabis could be a possible solution to this?
And this is, we're going to have a referendum about this, and I don't want to get too kind of far ahead of that as the minister that's got to pull a referendum together. But I would, let me just put it this way, there is a genuine question for us as a country to debate. About whether, you know, legalising and therefore being able to regulate cannabis and ensure safe access to it is going to be better than what we've got at the moment, which is a recreational drugs market driven underground and people not knowing what they're buying.
Do you think this goes further than just cannabis, though? So we have a problem with sort of a lot of drugs in New Zealand. Do we need to liberalise laws around these other drugs too?
I mean, I think that's a legitimate question to raise in a debate about, you know, if we're going to have this debate about legalising cannabis, but it's pretty hard to separate that from you know, other recreational drugs that people are into, including meth and obviously synthetic cannabis, because they're all out there and people are using them, and some of those drugs are just incredibly harmful. Like, in addition to killing people, they're causing serious harm to those who survive their consumption. And so it's going to be difficult to have a debate without about cannabis without a reference to other recreational drugs, I suspect.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.